Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Morning. If you're new here for the first time, it's great to have you with us. And yeah, let's just get straight into the Word. So we're going to carry on our Impossible series. And today we're looking at the story of Joseph. And Hebrews 11 verse 22 says this: "It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left." Now, I love the story of Joseph. It's one of my favorite stories of the whole Bible. It's a story about a boy who was his father's favorite. He was rejected by his brothers, thrown into slavery. He was accused of rape. He was then thrown into prison. And at that point, he had no life and no future. But suddenly, he's now working for Pharaoh, and he's the second in command of a nation. I love the story of Joseph. This story of Joseph is the story of the making of a man of God. And this is his impossible story. Now, Joseph is not the character most people think he is. Our first introduction to the young man is anything but positive. Straight away, we see him grassing up on his brothers. And whether or not the story he tells about them are true, are a point of disagreement. And on top of that, Joseph is clearly Jacob's favorite. Now, the family history of favoritism has certainly stood the test of time. Isaac loved Esau more, and Jacob loved Rachel more. But Joseph's not a good boy. He's not an example that we should follow. At first, he's nothing more than a spoiled kid with a habit of making up stories. As we will see, this is the person who God gives great dreams to, who God uses to save a nation, and who becomes a shining example of our Saviour to come. And what we learn about this story is that God doesn't care where your story starts. He didn't pass over Joseph because he lied or because he was spoiled. God didn't pay attention to what was, but instead focused on what could be. And Joseph would go on to be a great man, a patriarch in his own right. And everyone must start somewhere. And Joseph started here. But as the story unfolds, we will see that this is not where God kept him. Where you start in life has no bearing on how far God can take you. Have faith in God to do the impossible in your life. I remember when Tia first came to us, a young rising star in our youth. She came to us on an alpha course. And she was this stubborn teenager, right, who loved science, and who thought evolution was the way, and all that sort of stuff. But suddenly she started walking with God and reading the Bible and started serving and getting involved in the church. And you started to see her faith grow in God. And now you see her, and she's preaching the gospel to the youth. And I'm going to proclaim this right now. One day you're going to see Tia standing here and preaching the gospel to us as a church. And Tia is a great example of,
you know, when your story starts, has no bearing on how far God can take you. Have faith, and God will do the impossible.
Now, the scene we see with Joseph in Genesis is one that has gone on to define his story. Joseph has two dreams. One takes place on earth, and the other takes place in the heavens. And in both cases, the grains and the stars represents Joseph's family. And they bow down to him. However, if you look at the context of the story, they're not focusing on the interpretation, yet they're focusing on the family's reaction. Now, multiple times the Bible says that Joseph's brothers hated him, and we knew that they were jealous of him. And on top of that, he was even his father's favorite, but even his father turned around and said, "Well, you've gone too far now." But there's no interpretation of the dream. There's only questions like, "Will you rule over us? Will we bow down to you?" So what's the purpose of giving these dreams so early in Joseph's story? Well, there are two reasons for that. The first reason has to do with what we just saw in the previous verses, where Joseph don't deserve to receive prophetic dreams from God. To put it simply, he's a spoiled brat. What is God thinking by sending him such grand ideas about his future? But you see, that's how God works. He chooses the overlooked. He chooses the unlikely. He loves to use people who we least expect to accomplish the impossible. And in choosing Joseph, God is laying the foundation for his own glory. If such extraordinary things are going to happen, they're going to happen by the hand of God alone. And the second reason for the dreams is to show how our callings can affect the people around us. Everyone in Joseph's family tried to shut him down immediately, and they, you know, it can't happen. You're crazy. Do you really think that one day we're going to bow down to you? Can you imagine your little brother or your little sister coming up to you and go, hey, you're going to bow down to me one day? You ain't going to have it. But when God calls us to do the impossible, you can bet that others will do whatever they can to trip you up. And they will remind you of your failures, your weaknesses, your sins. And they will do everything they can to keep you in a small box of faith. But as you see, Joseph's dreams sustained him, even in the worst circumstances. And Joseph impressed the promises on his heart and never let go, because he believed that God always fulfills his promises. And you and me are just as much a loved child of God and a child of the promises, just as Joseph was. And you may be undeserving of the life that God has called you to, and maybe you've already had a bit of pushback from the people around you. But don't lose hope. The very circumstances in which were meant to break Joseph's faith in the promises were the events setting up for their fulfillment. And no matter how undeserving we are or unlikely it seems, God always keeps his promises to us.
Amen.
Now, Joseph's story finally takes a positive turn, but only for a short while. The young man arrives in Egypt and was put to work straight away. And he does so well during his time there that the Bible describes him as prospering. That's a very odd word to describe someone who is bound in slavery. But God was with Joseph, so his experience was nothing short of extraordinary. And he was quickly promoted from a simple outdoor slave to the head of Potiphar's household. Now, that would have been a job role saved for the best slaves, you know, the ones who've been serving under their master for so many years. But Joseph got to that position in a fraction of that time. In your workplace, God can place you in the highest position. Do you believe that? Have you got faith that God will place you in your highest position? Also, are you prospering in your workplace, just like Joseph was? Now, during this time, everything placed under Joseph was prospered, and he was basically, you could say, like a living good luck charm. However, another betrayal was just around the corner in Joseph's life, and we would again see him his life just be stripped away from him. And there's one powerful lesson found here, and that's the reason for Joseph's success. Now, towards the beginning of the chapter, we read that the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And it's not a coincidence that that sentence was worded that way. There's a relationship at work there, one that God's presence and blessings belong together. The presence of God and the blessings of God are two sides of the same coin. And just like God is light and around him there can be no darkness, so God's presence brings blessing. It's like an aura of good. When God is near something, that person or that thing can't help itself but become more than what it was before. How often do you pray for blessings? And how often do you pray for God's presence? I know personally I ask for the first one a lot more. You know, I want God to bless my opportunities, my decisions, my trials, and my relationships. But what if that was incomplete? What if instead of asking for a blessing, we ask for God to show up in our opportunities, our choices, and our pains? What if the reason we're not experiencing blessing is that we have a habit of not inviting the blesser? If you want to step out and do the impossible, let's invite God's presence to step out with us and then the blessings will come. I remember when there was a short period in my workplace where staff left, and as a senior staff member, I had to cover most of the shifts, and that included a Sunday. And I can tell you now, I hated it. I got pulled away from church. I got pulled away from you guys, people that I love and I care about. I weren't able to work with the youth. And on top of that, I missed people's baptisms. I missed Aaron's nan giving her life and faith for the first time. I missed so many great God stories. But in my workplace, I just got my head down and I just started working. I was prospering, just like Joseph was. And then I was asking God, God, instead of blessing me, let your presence come and let your will be done. And then sooner or later, we finally got staff members in, and then I was able to return to church. The presence of God brings the blessings of God. So as Joseph was walking in the presence of God, fulfilling his duties, temptation tried to trip him up. We all know Potiphar's wife, she was attracted to Joseph, and the readers get a sense that she was a woman who always got what she wanted. But Joseph stayed firm, and he wanted to honour his earthly master as well as honouring God. Yet she was persistent. Except the Bible says that every day, every single day, day after day, she was trying to tempt Joseph, but still he refused. And eventually her patience ran out, and she grabbed him. And she was adamant that she was going to get what she wanted. But in the same breath, Joseph was adamant that he wasn't even going to give it to her. And he ran away. And as he's run away, all that's left of him was a cloak in her hand. And that is all she needed to ruin Joseph's life. All she needed was that cloak as evidence to say, he tried to take advantage of me. And silently and innocently, again, Joseph's life is apparently destroyed as he is thrown into prison. Now, this story presents us with an uncomfortable truth, and it's something that we have to understand. Bad things can still happen to us even when we are obeying the will of God. Joseph was directly where God wanted him to be, doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. He was obedient, he was honourable, and he was regularly defeating temptation. Yet, despite all of that, something terrible came into his life. The presence of God also brings the blessings of God, but it is also important to understand that God's presence does not mean that we will be free from suffering. From Abraham to Jesus, the Bible teaches us repeatedly that sometimes the most painful place to be is in the will of God. Why? Because, guys, we live in a fallen world. So what should we do? We follow God anyways. What have we got to lose? No matter how painful the situation may be, whether we are in God's will and presence, we can have hope that he will see us through it. And as in Joseph's story, even the most uncomfortable circumstances can be turned into good. The safest and most dangerous place to be that we can be is in the presence of God. So now Joseph's in prison, but once again, he is elevated to the position of authority. He is given responsibility over the prisoners, and God blesses his time there. And Joseph serves well, even though he's looking for a way out. And we're thankful because an opportunity comes when two of Pharaoh's officials come in, the cupbearer and the baker. And one of their nights in prison, they have a dream. They have a really bad dream. And Joseph steps out to interpret that dream. Now, this is the amazing part, I think, of Joseph's story. It's one that definitely encourages me. For all we know, Joseph has never interpreted a dream before. He's never done it, but he is stepping out in faith. But one thing is clear, he has stayed faithful to God. All the trials so far that he has faced and worked him to make him an obedient servant of God, one who trusts him fully, even when his entire world is falling apart. By faith, Joseph offers his insight to the two men, and the cupbearer's dream showed that he would be restored to his previous position while the baker would be killed. And after the interpretation, Joseph begs them, please remember me and try and get me out of here. So the cupbearer returns to his rightful position 3 days later, and then the baker is put to death. Between me and you, the baker was probably put to death because he didn't have yeast bakery, you know. Angela and Ben's pastries, what a lovely little treat that we are missing at this time of lockdown. So the cupbearer returns to his mission, but he forgets all about Joseph. He forgets him. And then Joseph is confined to prison for another 2 years. And you've got to wonder that Joseph, while Joseph is confined into prison, he must pray and wonder what he's got up to. If you were to search for a theme for the Old Testament, or if you were to give a theme to the Old Testament, I would give it the theme of waiting. Abraham waited for children, Job waited for an answer, and Israel waited for a home. And repeatedly we see God make extraordinary promises, but then make his people wait for years and years and years before they come true. And I wonder how many nights Joseph laid in prison, falling asleep and remembering the dreams that he had as a boy all those years ago. And waiting has a way of causing us to doubt the promises of God. Joseph probably began to ask some very hard questions. Did those dreams even happen? Maybe I misunderstood them. Maybe those dreams weren't for me. Waiting is the one of the most difficult parts in life and in the Christian faith. But it can also be one of the most rewarding because it's in the way that our faith is truly exercised. Every day that passed, Joseph was still in prison and he worked towards building his faith in God. And our waiting can do the same if we let it. Now, I cannot tell you why God may be making you wait right now. But what I can say is that God has your best interest at heart and God knows what he is doing. Trust him. Waiting on God is a necessary part of growing in faith. So as the story continues, the Pharaoh now has a dream and the Pharaoh's trying to get interpretations from all sorts of people, but no one can do it. And if you imagine this as a film, you're probably sitting there watching it going, Pharaoh, the cupbearer knows. Cupbearer, speak up. You know someone. And Pharaoh's there going, who will interpret my dream? And we're all like, can someone get the cupbearer to speak up? Joseph is the one that can do it. And eventually he remembers, thank God, and he gets Joseph out of prison. And Joseph, with humility, he interprets Pharaoh's dreams and prophesies that there are two periods on the way, one of plenty and one of famine. But Joseph don't stop there. He goes, steps out in faith again and he does the impossible and he offers a solution. He says, save a portion of the plenty to sustain us through the famine. How many of you in your workplaces come against situations, come against problems and step out in faith and offer a solution? In Joseph's turn, that was probably like the cleaner offering a solution to the CEO of a big company. But it didn't matter. He still stepped out in faith and he'd done the impossible. And Pharaoh received his answer and he was clearly impressed by Joseph that he elevated him from Joseph the prisoner to the position of visor, which is the second most powerful person in the entire land. Every time I read this chapter, I remember how perfectly it displays the awesomeness of God. God literally took Joseph while he was in the lowest place of his life. He was in prison, he was alone, he was forgotten. And he raised him to a position where his dreams could now come true. And God is glorified in our unlikely circumstances. Where there seems to be no logical way to get from A to B, that is when God steps in. And he waits until there can be no other answer other than the hand of God so that there will be no one else to praise but him. Your dark times are opportunities for God to shine. He has not placed you in your current troubles to forget about you or imprison you. He is building your story and he is building his glory. God loved Joseph, so God allowed Joseph to wait in pain until just the right time. And God loved every other person as well who was going to be affected by the famine. But in Joseph's wait, it was not in vain. God was at work, and he was able to save not only his family, but a nation. God is at work, and the one who gave you your dreams will be the one to help them come true. Sometimes God makes us wait on purpose so that he will be glorified by the good that comes. And Joseph proved that he matured and was finally ready to be God's man when he forgave his brothers for selling him into slavery. And in Genesis 50, Joseph tells his brothers that God meant it good. He had realized all along that God was at work in his life, and all he had been through had put him in a position to save his whole family, to save a nation from starving to death. So we have to look at Joseph's story, and we must be ready to forgive others and not take offense so that we can accomplish all that God has planned for us in our lives. Perhaps Moses spends so much time on Joseph to show us that God can pull off the impossible, even though a seemingly insignificant Jew rejected by his own brothers. Perhaps Moses spends so much time on Joseph that his people would anticipate a coming Joseph who would finally and completely reverse the curse and fulfill the promises of God. Joseph's story is the story of the whole Bible. It is the story of God, it is a story of glory through suffering, exaltation through humiliation. And from the outside, it may not have looked like Joseph was living a favored life, just sitting around eating biscuits in the lap of luxury. However, when Joseph was in prison, he oversaw the prisoners. And when he was a slave, he ran the entire household. They may not have been great positions in the workplace, and the picture may not have looked great. Let's be honest. It looked hopeless, but it was a beautiful picture. And Joseph decided to serve God even when things looked bad. And if God can create a generational rainbow, if he can close the mouth of a hungry lion, and if he can hand out a job promotion that is palace style, I think we're able to trust God with our job search, with our anger and our unforgiveness, and trust him to work the impossible in our lives. There's no problem too great or too small for God. Simply trust in God today and get ready to walk into the impossible and come out the other end as conquerors.
Amen.